بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. قال تبارك وتعالى، ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لئن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، الدال على الخير كفاعله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved علماء اکرام, elders and brothers, those listening over the receivers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer, provider, whom we are totally dependent on. We cannot blink our eye, we cannot take a breath in or out, we cannot take a step. There is nothing that is possible if it is not the will and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire system of that we see operating around us, whether it's the sun rising or the sun setting, whether it's the rain coming or the rain not coming, whether it's the coming of the day or the going of the night, all is in total control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire operation and every system and everything around us, what we see and what we cannot see, all happens with the will and the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon our master, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah has sent not only for a certain specific tribe or a specific family or a specific area or a specific time, but rather, as Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a mercy for the universes. So we are indeed very fortunate that Allah has made us from that ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah says in the Holy Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةً, that from all the nations that had come, there were many, many different Nabis that Allah had sent, Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam, from Adam alayhi salam, right to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the thousands. There were many Anbiya that came, and each one of these Nabis had their followers. But from all these Nabis and the Prophets that came, the last is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the best of all these ummats and the followers of these Nabis, Allah Himself has given us the title that we are the khayra ummah, that we are the best of all the ummats. We are the best. And we are so fortunate that we did not have to make an application, nor did we do any other formal type of request, and no other extra sacrifices we had to make. Allah has chosen us and selected us to be from the ummah of Rasulullah ﷺ. And it's something we should appreciate and value. Allah says in the Quran, Allah yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. Allah chooses who He wishes. So we have been chosen. And something we should take it as an honor. We should not undervalue or underappreciate the fact or the status that Allah has given each one of us sitting here. It is like a feather in each one of us, our caps. Or it's a title that each one of us have. The fact that we are an ummah, we are part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah, in itself a prestige. It's an honor that we have. But the honor that we have and the position and the status that we have, mashallah, being the best of all ummats and being the last of all ummats, and in the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, the ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the largest in number, and the most entry into Jannah will be from this ummah. There is also attached to that a great amount of responsibility and duty. That together with the title, together with the honor that you have been granted, that we have been granted being the ummah, it goes side by side that there is a duty and a responsibility we ought to fulfill. The greater the position, the greater the status, the greater the level of somebody, then also the duties and the responsibilities side by side also should be greater. If, for example, in a business we have different levels of people, you have somebody who is just on the ground, then you have maybe a middle manager, and then maybe you have a high-level manager, somebody who is maybe the head of a certain department, or maybe he is the controller or the manager, and then you might have the boss. Now, they may get a certain added privileges. They get benefits, added benefits, because their position is higher in that certain company. And there may be certain benefits that the person lower down may not be getting. But the reason that the person who is higher up is getting added benefits, added privileges, and whatever other frill benefits you may see he may be getting, is because the responsibilities that have been placed on his shoulder is much, much more. He has a greater responsibility that has been placed on his shoulder. Hence, he is given a greater amount of remuneration and honor and benefits. In a very similar manner, as an example now, in a very similar manner, there are many ummats that came. But Allah has given us the title of being the best of all ummats. So we have been given like a special title or a special position or a special level from all the ummats that came. Now there has to be a certain degree of responsibility and added jobs that maybe we are fulfilling that allows us to carry this title and allow us to take this benefit of being the ummah of Rasulullah ﷺ and allows us to be from amongst those inshallah who will be gaining entry into Jannah on the day of Qiyamah and having the honor and privilege of being this ummah. And Allah Himself says in the Holy Quran, Kuntum khayra ummah, we are the best of all ummats. And immediately after that, Allah Himself explains it. He never leave it to our faculty of reasoning. On what basis have we been categorized as the best of all ummats? Allah Himself mentions it in the Quran, that you and I are the best of all ummats. From all the people that came, all the prophets that came, from all the followers of the prophets, we are the best. Why? So Allah Himself explains, أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, that we have been taken out for people. We have been taken out for the benefit and for, as ulama explained, أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, we have been taken out for the hidayat and guidance of mankind. As the Sahabi beautifully explains, he says, we are not in this world just to come here and to pass a phase. We should rather change the mindset. We have been sent. You, like a person, one he just comes, he doesn't know what he has to do, and goes back. But if you change the mindset, if you send somebody for a job, you expect the job to be done. There's a duty and responsibility he has to fulfill. So Allah Himself is saying, you're giving the title, and you're getting the benefits and the privileges attached to being the best of ummah. But there's something that we have to be fulfilling. And Allah Himself said, أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, that you have been taken out for the benefit of mankind. And benefiting mankind can be done in various ways. You can benefit somebody, and definitely it is very rewarding. It's something we ought to do, and we have to do. If somebody is hungry, mashallah, we give him some food, we satiated his hunger, and mashallah, for that day he went to bed, he wasn't hungry. Somebody is thirsty, we provide some water for him, very great reward, and we should continue doing it, especially in this day and age, in our country, our province especially, and other parts of our country going through severe water shortages and problems. And this is a very rewarding way for us to try and assist them by us firstly appreciating and conserving the water that we have. And however we can assist those people, so you can help people in those ways. Somebody does not have a house, maybe you can provide some shelter. So various ways, and it would have been open for interpretation. Why are we categorized as the best of all mankind? So Allah Himself says, أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, we have been taken out for the benefit of mankind. And the best benefit you can give anybody. And that's how we attached ourselves to, and this privilege and this honor we have as being the best of all ummats. We have this title. We have been taken out for the benefit of mankind. Now what is the best benefit we can give somebody? And that is the question that we need to ask ourselves. So if you give somebody food, alhamdulillah, you get reward. You give somebody water also, you get reward. And we should continue doing this. But the best benefit you can give anybody, whether it's your own child, whether it's your parents, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's somebody in any parts of the world, is to connect that person to the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why is this the best thing? Best benefit to give somebody? There could be various answers, but one very quick answer would be that that is something that is going to be actually helping him to fulfill his objective and purpose of being sent in this world. And over and above that, by getting somebody connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, besides that he's fulfilling his objective, it's also going to be something that is going to be helping him خالدين فيها أبدا, forever and ever in perpetuity. If you help somebody in this world, and we should continue doing it with some material things, it's temporary. Maybe it can continue for the duration of his life. But imagine if you connected somebody with the purpose that he had been sent in this world for, and that was to worship and to gain the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then definitely that is the best ukhrijat linnas. We have been taken out for the benefit of mankind. That is the best benefit you can give anybody, is connect him. And as I said, we need to change our mindset and not say that we are here just to come and pass time. We have been sent for a great duty and responsibility. As the sahabi says, ibtathana Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us and selected us, made us from the best of all ummats, sent us into this world and given us a great duty and responsibility. He says, ibtathana Allah. Allah has sent us. لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. Is that to take mankind out from the servitude or from the worship of man to the worship of the Lord of man. مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. Is to take man out from the worship of any of the creation. Take him away from the servitude and focusing and having incorrect yaqeen on any of the creation and rectifying and correcting his iman and his conviction and his yaqeen and make him become one who is connected to Rabbul Ibad, who is the Lord of the slaves, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the sahabi says beautifully after that, وَمِن دِيقِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah has sent us in this world to remind, and it is something we should be making effort on ourselves and the benefit of mankind at large. وَمِن دِيقِ الدُّنْيَا is to tear man's focus away from the narrowness of this world. وَمِن دِيقِ الدُّنْيَا, from the shortness of this world, from the constraints and the restraints of this world, إِلَىٰ سَعَةِ الْآخِرَةِ, to the vastness and the everlasting akhirah. So if you are doing this for somebody, then actually we are fulfilling our purpose and we are now fulfilling the duty and responsibilities that have been attached to us. And the third thing he says, that sahabi, he says, وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Allah has sent us in this world to connect man to the Creator. Allah has sent us in this world to take man's focus out from the narrowness of this world and to remind him about a life that is going to come, going to be forever and ever. Sa'ati al-akhirah. And from the oppressiveness or the injustices of all the other ways of lives or religions or fashions or whatever social attractions that exist, to make man shift his focus away from that and to bring him aligned ila adl islam wa min jawl al adyan, to take him away from all these other side attractions and get him become focused on akhirah, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on preparations and the understanding that our success lies only in deen. It's like an alignment, a car alignment we need to have in our lives. One is we have, you know, a car that you're driving. If the alignment is not right, and we see we need to send our car for alignment. If the car is not aligned, then the car will go off the road, it will meet an accident and is a big problem. So we need to make it aligned so it will reach its destination and it will be safe, the journey will be safe. In a similar way, there has to be a certain degree of alignment in our lives between what we are doing as Muslims and following the sunnah and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah we'll reach our destination. Now in between, there are many things now that will come. And these stones and these pebbles and these rocks and these speed bumps will come. And they will maybe try to shift the alignment of the car, and they sometimes will do that. So we need to continuously remind ourselves and continuously put ourselves into alignment to get our lives focused, following the commands of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and reaching our destination, the Akhirah, safely. So let us try and understand this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in the verse that continues, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. We have been taken out. We have a duty and responsibility, each one of us sitting here. It is not the duty and responsibility of a certain group or a certain jama'at or a certain alim that no, he must do this work of what Allah himself terms in the Quran, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Each one of us sitting here, We are the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each one of us, we are proud to have the title, we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have been taken out for the purpose of mankind. So this duty of commanding, ta'muruna bil ma'ruf, of inviting to that which is good, of promoting a culture of goodness, of ma'ruf, it's every person's duty and responsibility to do that. Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar, and to prohibit and to stop that which is munkar, that which is evil, it is our duty and responsibility. So we make dua, Allah gives us the true understanding of appreciating and valuing the fact that we are the best of all ummats, and together with that, after appreciating and understanding and valuing what we are, to fulfill the duties and the responsibilities that have been attached to this ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that applies to each one of us sitting here, be it male, be it a female, be it a big and old person, or be it a young person. Every person has the duty and responsibility. The Prophet said, "Balighu anni walau aya." You should take this responsibility. فَلْيُبَلِّغَ الشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمُ الْغَيْبِ. Those of you that know, it becomes our duty and responsibility to promote an environment and to create an environment of connecting people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, in that regard, we are very, very fortunate in this past month. Allah has given us the ability and the tawfiq to make some safar to a part of the world which is sometimes far from our minds. Maybe we never really thought about it. Not many people make safar over there. So I'm just going to spend the next few minutes sharing some of our experiences to South America. Alhamdulillah, Allah had given us accepted us, and we had gone out to a country in South America. We spent some time in Argentina and also in Chile. And alhamdulillah, what we have in our country, wallahi, if we travel to different parts of the world, then only we'll really value and appreciate the environment that we have, be it in a form of the masjid, be it in a form of a madrasa, be it in a form of the halal food. If you want halal food, is it a problem for you, anybody sitting here? No problem. In that context of the environment, there it's an issue just to get halal meat, just to find some bread which is halal. It's an issue. So we have so much of facilities at our disposal, we sometimes tend to neglect, to overlook, appreciate and value it. For example, in one of the areas we went, we asked a brother, I was walking with him, and I asked him, "You accepted Islam recently, 3-4 months ago. What made you accept Islam?" And this brother was a music composer. You see, his job is to compose music. He says he heard the azan, and he was so taken aback by the words, the melody of the azan, and the beautiful words and the tone of the azan, that was sufficient enough for him to become a Muslim, to accept Islam. Now think about it in retrospect, when the azan is called out in our areas 5 times a day, how much do we even respect the azan? And here in this part of the world, we find people have become affected just by the mere call of the azan. The call of the azan so if we have to change our mindset, and that is why the ulama always sing to us when the azan is being called, when we are making wudu, when we are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not a time for us to be engaging in futile talks and worldly talks. It is a time to us to sit and reflect and appreciate. This is the words that have been called, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and respond to the azan. That's what we are taught. But because we are so used to it, it's found, we've taken it for granted, we haven't really sat down to think and to reflect about the value of the azan that is being called out. In one of the areas, mashallah, we are sitting and making talim in the masjid. And I was talking to one of the Argentinian brothers there, and one lady comes from the window, and she asked me, "What is this, a masjid or a musalla or what?" For them to see a Muslim, not out of fear, because media says now people are scared, but out of genuine curiosity, that what are you wearing, one kurta, or you wear this beard that you have, or the ladies are in hijab. They are fascinated and astonished that the fact in this day and age, there's still people, mashallah, who are able to practice on the sunnah. So just by us walking, we should never suffer from an inferiority complex. Sometimes we feel embarrassed. And that's the fact, to read our salah in public, or sometimes to dress in kurta, or to have our beard, or for the ladies to wear. In some parts of the world, it's a reality, we know about it. It's a crime for them to be wearing the hijab, or for them to be wearing the scarf. We don't have any problems like that. But again, we take it for granted. So she says to me that, you know, my grandfather, great-grandfather, not her father, her grandfather, was a person from Lebanon. And when he died, he has a Quran in his house. Left a Quran. And I was browsing through the Quran. I didn't even know that there's still Muslims exist today. So I want to learn a little bit more. What happened? And that is a sad reality. And it's something we need to appreciate the environment. MashaAllah, we hear that many, many years ago, people from Lebanon, people from Syria, people from Palestine, they migrated. They took they made a hijrah from their countries for whatever reason, and they settled. So there's large percentage, a large amount of people from Arab origin, maybe 100 years ago, maybe 50 years ago, many, many years ago, even up till recently. In one of the areas we went to meet one brother. I asked him how long, when he came here to this country, Chile. He said, I came 4 months ago. 4 months ago, 4 months a year. But he said, I only read one Maghrib so far. 4 months, only one Maghrib I read. I haven't seen the Masjid still. What happened to all his Jummas? What happened to all other Salahs? So think about in the context of 50 years or 60 years ago, when people came over there, individual came to the country, and how important it is for us to ensure that we create environments and appreciate environments. So he came to this country, and over some time, 2 or 3 years, mashallah, he worked whatever he needed to do, and he get married to this local person, local Chile woman or Argentinian woman. If a person is not strong on his iman himself, he's not pardon on his salah, or he doesn't attach to himself to some effort or to the masjid, then what will happen is that this lady or whoever it is, obviously is not a Muslim. He is not strong enough and practicing himself. The offspring, just picture this scenario now. The child that comes out of this type of marriage, what will happen to this child? He's going to follow the mother. You as the man have not made effort on this lady, so this child is following the mother. That child that comes after that, what do you think will happen to that child? And this is an example. Maybe we have thought it was something that was there in the air. It's a reality. Many, many, many people who are supposed to be Muslim have actually lost their iman and have come out of the fold of Islam. They don't even know that they're Muslims. They don't even know that the kalima la ilaha illallah, forget about any other aspect of deen. And that's why I'm saying, how are we going to relate it? It's a story we're saying that's a true story, but we mustn't think it's there. It's a reality and it can affect each one of us if we do not connect ourselves to the effort of deen. If we do not connect ourselves with the masjids and we do not make the correct tarbiyat of our children, then it is happening also in our country. It is also happening in our country, in our neighborhoods. Alhamdulillah, we have a comfortable environment here to an extent, many of us sitting here. But it is happening. Ask people who travel to the outlying areas, is it not people leaving the fold of Islam? Don't we find people who are marrying out of the fold of Islam? What happened to their children? They are actually leaving the fold of Islam. And it's a reality. So what are we going to do about it? In short, we should try as individuals, make sure that we set our own homes in order first. Because there was a person who said one day, you know what, I want to change the world. He thought to himself, hey, the world, they got so much of problems. Let me see how I'm going to change the world. Then he thought to himself, this is impossible. I can't change the world, the whole world. How am I going to make an effort in the whole world? Then he said, okay, let me maybe change my country. I'll change everybody in this country, make them follow what I want them to follow. Then he thought to himself, the whole country is very difficult. Then he thought to himself, you know what, okay, let me change my whole city. He said also, that also maybe 1 million people, 2 million, very difficult. Then he came, now let me change my entire family. He said also now extended family, brothers, sisters, all got their own stories. I can't change them. He eventually came to the conclusion, let me change myself. If each one of us makes that intention that he will change himself, his attitude towards deen, he will connect himself to the masjid, he will make an effort for deen, inshallah. Each one thinks like that, then automatically, inshallah, the family unit will change. And like that, inshallah, the communities will change, and the countries will change. Inshallah, the whole world will change. The problem nowadays, we worried about everybody else, and the entire world, and alhamdulillah, we should have that worry. But we tend to neglect, and not fulfill the duties and responsibilities that we have, that we're supposed to be doing ourselves. Like we look at everybody else's faults, but we forget to look into our own hearts, and our own faults that we have within ourselves. So let's try, inshallah, to make this intention that each one of us, we will start this halaqat of ta'lim in our homes. Very, very effective and very, very valuable thing. We should make sure it's like a compulsory thing. I'm not saying it's fard, but like take it like a compulsory thing to create an environment. Each one of us, inshallah, creates a bi'ah, what we say, an environment at home, a mahol at home of deen. And like that, the neighbors, inshallah, we'll have an environment of deen easily existing. And the effort, and alhamdulillah, most of us, I don't think anybody sitting here would have traveled 1.5 hours by bus to come for Jummah or to come for Salah. But in that part of the world, because the environment is such, people have to travel 1 hour, 1.5 hours just to make it to a masjid. In one of the areas we went to, at a place called Valdivia. If you do a search, the highest, most severest earthquake ever recorded in history, 9.5 magnitude earthquake took place in this town called Valdivia. Wiped out the entire city. But alhamdulillah, nowadays there are some local people coming there. But how do they perform Jummah Salah? 20, 30 people of the locality, if somebody's house is available, they'll make it for Jummah Salah. Any other Salah? Very, very, very difficult. Do we have any excuses for Salah? Our Salah with Jamaat? The next town we go to is a town by the name of Portamont. At least in Valdivia, they're making an effort to, again, I'm not pointing it out to find critical or be false. Why I'm saying it for us to appreciate and value what we have and take maximum benefit. There, they only perform the Jummah Salah if some Jamaat or some brothers come out of the locality. You'll phone all the 10, 20 people and bring them together. And alhamdulillah, they'll have some shakal of Jummah or some Salah that will take place. Do any one of us have that excuse that the masjid is 1.5 hours away, therefore I cannot make it for Salah? Majority of us is merely a two minutes drive. Some of us is a 5 minutes drive. But despite that, we find lots of us and lots of people of our community, we are shirking in ensuring that we perform our Salah in its correct time in the masjid with Jamaat. Let us try and appreciate. When we see this, we value and we should try and bring these qualities in our life. Also, we find that, you know, in one of the masjids we went, I just want to round up with this, there's so many other incidents, but there's one area which is a tsunami area. And almost every day earthquakes take place in Chile. But some of the magnitudes are severe and some is lower. When it's severe, then you find damage. Otherwise, it's just small shudders that take place. So one of the areas, the tsunami came. And again, when we look at calamities that befall us, we begin to complain against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. Why my mother must go? My father must go? Or why this business deal went down? This particular business, I don't want to mention the name. This particular business, the tsunami came. It happened in September, that means about 4 or 5 months ago. And a tsunami wiped out this guy's business. You say that 2 days before he bought so many $1,000s of stock. Tsunami came and destroyed his entire thing. But how we should be happy with the decree of Allah. He says, after the tsunami, people became so curious to see where all this damage took place. The business began to flourish more than before the tsunami. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maybe made that tsunami an excuse, his business got destroyed, now he had to rebuild his business, but his business now became more popular because people coming to that area now to see. So when we sometimes see something happening, we should always understand Allah is Hakim. Allah is full of wisdom and Allah is Khabir, Allah knows best. And alhamdulillah, in that regard, I concluded one last incident. One of the brothers we met in Argentina, mashallah, he is a brother by the name of Abdul Rahman. And he gave us an incident which took place maybe 5 years ago. He says there were one of the local brothers came to invite him to a program that is taking place, like an ishtima, we can say, or a gathering of Islam is taking place in Brazil. And he is in Rosario, in Argentina. So how is he going to go there? So he said to them, I can't go, I got no money. So they said to him, give him encouragement, maybe you can go there, you'll benefit. So he said to them, okay, if one of you accompany me, then I'm prepared to go. Say, how are you going to say, don't worry, just get one person ready. So one of them, who encouraged him to go, they got ready and say, we'll go. He started walking. And he walked for 1,800 kilometers. He told us himself, 1,800 kilometers just so that he can attend that halaqa or that mashwara or that gathering to a sting place where you heard lots of the seniors and elders are coming, and he went for the gathering just to learn and to get some deen. And how much of effort do we need to make? Every week, mashallah, there are programs taking place, maybe even 180 meters. That guy had to go 1,800 kilometers just so that he was as thirsty and his desire to learn deen and to participate in these gatherings that take place. So my message, inshallah, is simple and clear, inshallah. Let us understand that we are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the opportunities we have, especially in our country, is something that is really, in any other part of the world we go, we don't really find the environments that we have. We need to appreciate it. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. That if you turn away, Allah doesn't need us. We need the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ, we turn away, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace us with a nation. And also we request brothers, mashallah, many of our ulama from South Africa, alhamdulillah, have migrated. And I really want to commend them in this platform for the sacrifices they are making, alhamdulillah. Some of them are there for 10 years, some of them for 3 years. They are making lots and lots of effort in Argentina, in Brazil, in Chile. And alhamdulillah, there's a need for much more people to go there. But those that have already gone there, we make, mashallah, we congratulate them and request the brothers, mashallah, to make special dua for those people and all the other people, inshallah, in other parts of the world. May Allah accept their efforts and grant them success, inshallah. There are lots of hope that the effort of deen will progress and go from strength to strength in that part and other parts of the world. Wa akhru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.